This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his household, his companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless them, to bless every one of us, to grant us goodness, and to bless our offspring, those to come up to the end of time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep them steadfast upon the deen so that they can worship Him alone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ease from all the difficulties that we face in life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed 114 chapters that are within the Quran, and we read them. And what we are meant to be achieving from the verses of the Quran, primarily the understanding of the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to worship Him alone, and how exactly He wants to be worshipped. That would lead us to the way taught by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do things. The way that we would worship Allah, the way that we should carry ourselves. When you talk about Islam, we talk of five pillars. When you talk of Iman, we talk of six pillars. When we talk of the rest of Islam, we speak of purity and cleanliness. Cleanliness known as Tahara. That Tahara is divided into several categories, two of which are the Tahara that is outward and Tahara that is inward. So that is also one of the categorizations of the term Tahara. And from that we would learn that it's important for us as Muslims, if you want to be a Muslim, you need to promise that you're going to be a clean person. Islam is a clean religion filled with purity. Purity is external, which means your body is clean and pure. And secondly, internal. Internal meaning your character and your conduct is also clean and pure. So we've spoken about acts of worship, how we are supposed to follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we've also spoken about that which is known as tahara. Now, the purity would include believing in something known as halal and haram, and that it comes from Allah. So if I'm a pure person, whatever is halal, I will consider it pure. It's part of cleanliness. It's part of my duty as a Muslim. And this is why there are a lot of rules and regulations when it comes to Islam, because we can only achieve internal and external purity if we are going to understand what is halal and haram. A person who looks very clean outwardly, very clean, smart, speak and span, they may not have washed themselves after relieving themselves, so they are considered impure in the eyes of Allah. A person who looks very smart, speak and span, from outside, outwardly, very clean, they may be very abusive with their tongues, so they are not pure. They may be hurtful, they may utter words that are unacceptable. These words can actually sometimes lead them to damaging their reputation with Allah, such that they might even come out of the fold of Islam. May Allah not do that to us. Sometimes externally a person is clean and pure, but you know what? Their dealings are not clean and pure. So they are not following Islam correctly. Some people would consume interest, giving it another name. We are destroying what Islam has taught. Some people might be consuming alcohol, giving it another name. Some people might be consuming or abusing weed, calling it tajweed. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us guidance and acceptance. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us stay away from that which is forbidden. Remember, when we speak of tahara, we're also speaking about halal and haram. We're also speaking about leading a clean and pure life. I give you another example. We are not meant to consume meat that is not slaughtered in a specific way. If it is slaughtered in a specific way with the name of Allah, seeking the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you may consume it. Now, sometimes people are not bothered about what they eat and what they drink. And the hadith says, towards the end of time, there will be people who will not be bothered about whether what they are consuming is actually halal or haram. They will just eat it for the sake of eating. You know, wow, it's tasty. Tasty doesn't mean it's halal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. So it's important for us to take care when it comes to halal and haram. If you haven't seen the animal being slaughtered, you will hear from someone reliable whom you trust. What do you trust them in? You trust them in their own dealings. You trust them in their own truthfulness. Then you can believe them when they tell you this is halal and this is not halal. But if you don't trust them in their own dealings and their own system, then how can you take their word? A man who is consuming, for example, alcohol, and he tells you, this is all halal, you know. Oh, are you going to really listen to him? You're not. A man, for example, who is eating interest, deceiving, cheating, he does not have any ethics of his own. It is the same. If he were to tell you this is halal, you would have the right to doubt it. In fact, you should. Until you confirm from another source. So this is halal. And this is an example that we need to understand. When something is doubtful, we leave it because our purity is higher than taking that risk. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. But I want to tell you, once you believe in Allah, you have entered the fold of Islam correctly. When you enter the fold of Islam, Allah tells you, now we can test you. Allahu Akbar. Listen very carefully. It's very interesting where Allah says, you declare yourself a mu'min, a believer. Now, we're going to check whether you really are a believer. Okay, oh Allah, how are you going to test me? What are you going to do to me? I believe in you. I believe in halal, haram. I believe in the pillars of Islam, iman, everything. I try to be as pure as possible. What are you going to do to me? Allah says, I will test you the same way that I tested those before you in order to find out whether you are truly a believer who believes in me, my names, my qualities, whether you worship me through thick and thin. You know, when a person gets married, sometimes in some cultures, they are made to utter some vows. And in those vows, they say that, you know, through goodness and hardship, whatever happens, we will remain together until death do us part, you know. They continue to say, and sometimes the first hardship that comes in their life, they already divorced, which means they were liars. They were liars. They said, we're going to help each other through thick and thin, right? But when the first thing happened, they said, I'm out of here. So sometimes with the believers, this is what happens, where we are promising that we believe in Allah. Allah says, hang on, I'm going to test you to see, are you truthful or not? أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah says, do people think that it is enough for them? It will be okay for them to say we are true believers and then we don't test them? Allah says, we tested those before them. We tested them as well. In order to distinguish who is really, honestly, going to worship Allah, even during hardship. So Allah says, we will take from you, and look, do you still worship me alone with the same enthusiasm? We will give you, and we will look, do you still worship us alone with the same enthusiasm? When Allah gives you a lot, a sign of the fact that you are a believer is that makes you closer to Allah and more humble in your character to the rest of the creatures of Allah. When Allah made you a powerful person, He gave you authority. Trust me, it is only a test from Allah to watch you. What are you going to do? I'm in control here. I put you in a higher position, We become arrogant. We start looking at people with a nose in the air. Subhanallah. We start thinking that we are something big and everybody else is nothing. If that is the case, Allah says, no, no problem. You're still going to die. You're still going to be buried in the dust. You're still going to go and decompose in your grave. But you failed your test. You failed it. Why? We gave you to see. Does it bring you closer to Allah or not? Sometimes we have been given suddenly lots of money. It can happen. May Allah let it happen. Say Ameen. Ooh, that was a loud Ameen. MashaAllah. 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 But let that come, my brothers and sisters, with humbleness, humility. When Allah bless you with your first million, you are in the masjid for Salatul Fajr. Allahu Akbar. Now you are talking real business. You look at people, Salaamu Alaikum, how are you, my brother? What's happening? You talk to people in a respectful way. You greet them with a smile. No one needs to be able to tell how powerful you are, how rich you are, because in the saf of Salah, you and the one who doesn't even have 1 cent is standing together in the eyes of Allah. You want to achieve the same closeness to Allah. So when Allah gives you, be careful, my brothers, my sisters. It is a test. It's not necessarily just that Allah is saying, okay, I'm rewarding you for what you did. Sometimes it's actually a test such that people fail it. They fail it and they don't understand. We think that, oh, I worked hard, I applied for this job, I did that, I did this, I did whatever. I received and I achieved. You know, it's not I. A true mu'min says, by the blessing of Allah, I was given this. Through Allah's grace, I was given this. A lot of the times, what we have in terms of wealth, when we die, every cent we left behind was actually not necessary. You didn't need to earn it. You didn't even use it. But you fought your whole life to earn it. And you, if it came through halal means, alhamdulillah. But if it came through haram means, you should have rather used that time, effort, energy and money to prepare your hereafter. Last night we went to bed. None of us knew we were going to get up. But only some of us thought about it. The others didn't. Do you get what I'm saying? Tonight we're going to go to bed. Tomorrow morning, not every one of us is going to get up. But some, before they sleep, they think about it. And they say, oh Allah, forgive me. If you take me away in my sleep, grant me goodness. In fact, it is a sunnah dua of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know what he used to say when he used to recline? He used to say, wada'tu jambi. Bismika Allahumma wada'tu jambi wa bika arfa'uha. Oh Allah, my side is on my bedding. I've placed my side down to lie down in your name. And I will get this side up by your mercy. By your name. Same thing. Wa bika arfa'uha. With your name also, I will manage to get up. In amsakta nafsi faghfir laha. If you take me away at night, forgive me. You take my soul, forgive it. وَإِنْ أَرْسَلْتَهَا فَحْفَظْهَا بِحِفْظِكَ الَّذِي تَحْفَظُ بِهِ عِبَادَكَ الصَّالِحِينَ. If you are going to send me back in the morning to see the world once again, then protect that soul of mine in the same way that you protect those who are pious, close, good worshippers of yours. That was a dua of who? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do we really make the dua? Some of us, we just say, بِسْمِكَ اللَّهُمَّ أَمُوتُ وَأَحْيَا, which is a beautiful sunnah as well. But we say it without thinking of what we actually meant. In your name, O Allah, we die, we live. We come to life. What does that mean? I'm going to sleep now. It's called a small death. I might never get up. But the one who gets up in the morning has been given another chance to prepare for the day he doesn't get up. But we don't look at it that way. Before we go to sleep, we are planning the sin that we're going to be committing tomorrow. We don't want to die in that condition. It's a fact. Seek forgiveness before you sleep. Tell Allah, oh Allah, I plan to commit sins tomorrow, but they're all cancelled. They're all cancelled. Allahu Akbar, you achieve the happiness of Allah. You achieve the pleasure of Allah. He is giving you a chance. So I spoke a little bit about how when Allah blesses you and gives you, be careful. Be careful. Watch your attitude, especially your tongue. Your tongue. That tongue can actually be evidence that you have failed this test dismally. When we get something, we start saying, ah, who's this guy? Ah, that one there. I'll fix it. I'll show him. Why? I'm someone. Allah will show you. Allah will show you. Do you really think that you just got that with your own intelligence? When Qarun was given more wealth than all of us put together, his sin was he did not relate it to God Almighty. He said, it's my intelligence. I'm sharp, I'm intelligent. I got, it was me, I worked, I did hard. But he didn't say, the blessing of the Almighty helped me to achieve this and to achieve that. Whatever you get, relate it to Allah. Relate it to God Almighty. Make sure that you realize and understand that this is from Allah. Now, let's speak about the other side. When Allah takes something away from you, it's also a test. It's also a test. It's a test to see. When you don't have, are you still going to worship Allah and believe in Him and have hope in Him the same way you would have or better when you had more? So, subhanAllah, you have people after they had certain things. Let's say they had an easy life. One day has to come. One day has to come when you suffer a loss. There is no chance in anyone's life that that hasn't happened or won't happen. No chance. Why does it come? But I'm a believer. I believe in Allah. I'm a worshipper. I'm pure. I don't drink. I don't commit adultery. I don't swear. I don't cheat. I seek Allah's forgiveness all the time. I fulfill all the pillars that I have to. I try the cleanliness. I'm good to people. But I'm struggling. Allah says, don't say but. Don't say but. It's our test. If your problem brings you closer to God Almighty, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are successful. When your problem takes you to drinking, to drugs, to gambling, to dirty things, what happened? You lost your cleanliness, your purity, the tahara, which is a cornerstone of Islam and Iman. You lost it because you became unclean. I remember speaking to someone who was drinking, and I said, what do you gain from this? In fact, he was on drugs. I forget my problems. Okay, you forget for how long? For as long as you are intoxicated, then what happens? Then there's bigger problems. Allahu Akbar. So can't you think for a moment? Don't do this. The best are those whom, when they have an issue, they actually thank Allah. They thank Allah. Suddenly you suffered a loss. A true believer is the one who says it could have been worse. A true believer. I remember many years back in Medina Munawwara, we visited one of our teachers who lost his leg in a car accident, the hospital. And he was saying, Alhamdulillah, I lost this leg and Alhamdulillah. So some of the young people, they didn't know much. They said, Sheikh, you are thanking Allah. He says, while I had my leg, I can't remember using that leg to commit a sin against Allah. And I thank Allah because if he wanted, he could have taken both of these legs. He took one away. Subhanallah. Do we look at it that way? Some people lose a finger. They are depressed. Depressed completely. One eye is gone. Totally depressed. They cannot even breathe after that without complaining, swearing, whatever else. But what happened? I lost an eye. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant cure to those who are sick and ill. Whenever He tests us, may He make it easy for us. To talk is one thing. To be in it is another thing. When you have 5 children, Allah takes one away. And the person is like they are gone, completely depressed. Allah says, I gave you 4 kids. Those children, they were mine in the first place. Meaning they belonged to me in the first place. I gave that life. I took it away. But there are 4 more that are still there. What are you complaining about, oh man? But man looks at the negatives. So if you are prepared to look at the positives, it will bring you closer to Allah. It will make you regular with salah. How many believers we know, when they have a problem, they start reading salah. Have you seen that happening? When they have a problem, they start reading salah. You see a man in the masjid, and his friend will tell you, no, he's got a very big problem, please pray for him. You know what? Encourage the people. That was a gift of Allah. If it was a problem that brought you to the masjid, we rather have 10 problems. Subhanallah. If a problem brought you to pray, made you closer to the one who made you, that problem was really a gift, wasn't it? Subhanallah. You have sometimes small problem, people still don't come to Allah. Then Allah says, hang on, I love this one enough to be able to let him come. So let me give him a bigger problem. A bigger one and a bigger one. A massive one comes. Finally, you're at the mosque. You raise your hands for the first time to Allah. You start reading salah. You cry warm tears to say, oh Allah, I've been sinful. You found Allah through your issue, through your problem, through your hardship. And do you know what? Allah does not promise to give you what you want, but He promises to do what He wants. What will He do? Allah promises you that if you believe in me and my power and my supreme authority, I will grant you contentment within your heart. I make you happy. How happy? So you have a problem, for example, you lost a job. You're trying to look for a job, look for another job, look for a job. You're not getting it. But if you really come close to Allah, you are content. Inside you, you know Allah is in control. If He didn't give this to me, I'm a happy person. I am content. I am not going to complain to anyone. So that contentment, you still didn't get your job, but what religion did to you and what Allah did to you is He made you calm. He made you realize it's okay. I used to use $20 a day. Now I'll survive on $2 a day, $3 a day. Wow. So you adjust it, because those who cannot adjust their lifestyle based on their income, they are punishing themselves. When you used to earn $1,000 a month, you used to live a lavish life. When that came down to $200 a month, what happened? You still want to live that old life. That's why you are suffering. You want to show or whatever else you want to do. No. Take a look at food. You know what is the gift of Allah regarding food? The one who buys food worth $1 and the one who's eaten worth $20, they're still filling their bellies. They're still filling their bellies. You ask this one, what did you eat? He said, pizza. Right? You ask the other one, what did you eat? He says, sadza. Right? Which one is healthier? Let's be honest. The cheaper one. Subhanallah. But we are complaining, I don't have money. Allah says, I provided for you. Do you know our complaints 99%, in fact 100% of the time, our complaints are about more than the basic need. Allah guarantees you to provide for you the basic need. You will survive. But when the complaint you have is actually regarding more than that basic, that's what you really want. So it's, some can term it greed. May not be totally greed with everyone, because everyone wants to improve their life standard, but why don't we improve our spiritual standard as well? Allah says, I provided for you. Watch the ants. You know the size of the ants? The size of the ants such that right now, if there are ants around here, we don't even know. We can't even see. I promise you, one grain provided for him. Allah says, if I have provided for these little ants, do you think there is anything on earth that moves that we don't provide for? وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. Allah takes the responsibility. You know, عَلَى اللَّهِ means it is the duty of Allah. Allah says, anything that moves on earth, we have taken the responsibility to sustain it. That's all. Subhanallah. We are big. How many ants can fit in the size of my body? Billions. And I am complaining. Allahu Akbar. May Allah make it easy for us. So what I have said today, a lesson for all of us, we build our belief in Allah. And we will be clean and pure as best as possible. And then when the tests come to us, we consider it a beautiful examination. Whether it's addition or subtraction, it is from Allah. Don't despair. Don't lose hope. The day you lose hope, that is the day your door closes. Don't lose hope, no matter what. And I end by giving you one example that I've been giving the last few weeks. You know when Allah closes one door? Say, for example, you lost a job. You're looking. You applied for one. You didn't get it. You applied for another one. You didn't get it. You applied for a third one, you didn't get it. You applied for a fourth one, you didn't get it. Why? Why? Because Allah knows that if you had any one of those four jobs, they will not get you as far as the fifth or sixth one that is waiting for you. So we want you to get the sixth job, but you're already depressed by applying for four of them. Wait, Allah's got a bigger plan than you can dream of. So Allah says, You be happy. You understand. For as long as you work hard, get up every morning and go and apply and try. The day you are lazy, you achieve nothing. You apply, you try, you go ahead, you keep on going. One door closes, two, three, four. When the fifth one opens, it will take you to a place far beyond where the first four would have ever taken you. You see? That is Allah. And that is the gift of a believer. That's why Allah says, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. With every hardship there is ease. And with that same hardship, definitely there is even more ease. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. أقول قولي هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.